while you're standing this morning, let's just, I'll read you one verse, I'll let you be seated. Mark 4:30, and he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or where with what comparison shall we compare it? Amen. God, I come before you this morning. I ask you to open up our understanding, for the word is full of wisdom. It's full of truth. But we have to have a heart to receive it. So help our hearts and our minds to be open to receive your word of God, which is able to save our souls. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. Amen. Lift your praises to the Lord. Amen. You're going to praise somebody. You're going to worship somebody. You're going to think about something. I said, you're going to think about something. Right now, you're thinking about something. It may not even be here you're thinking about, but you're going to think about something. And one of these days, I never have, but one of these days, I'd like to teach a sermon on meditation. Because that's when you're thinking about something that's different than just your regular having to work and having to pay attention to whatever it is you do for a living or driving or whatever it is. But what God's interested in, you know, when you're working for you in your job or whatever, I'm sure that the Lord plans on you to concentrate on what you're doing. But when you have those times when you're not, David put it this way, he said, blessed is the man that delights in the law of the Lord, and there he shall meditate both day and night. What you thinking right now? What you think? See, people, they're over here, they're over here, though. So when you meditate on the Lord, you collect your thoughts and you bring them into captivity. You know where he says to bring every thought into captivity? That's your meditation. You bring that into captivity. So I'm not over here, I'm not over there, I'm not scattered, I'm not thinking about that. And I will tell you, meditation is the greatest tool you'll ever have to overcome anything. Anything. But people that are scattered and never meditate, they don't ever overcome. But if you'll learn to meditate on the Lord day and night, I could teach on that, but that's not my subject. Let me go here to, I'm going to read Mark 4:30 again, and we'll proceed on. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it? Parabolic truth. He said, oh, it is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. It's the smallest of all of them. But when it is sown, it groweth up. My. So small when you sow it, but if you give it time, it groweth up and becometh greater than all those other seeds, greater than all the herbs, and shooteth out great branches all from that little seed, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. That's pretty big. That's profound. How shall I compare the kingdom of God? This is profound. Gives me chills to think about it. How so little is so much if God is in it. And then we read Luke writes the same parable in two verses. He said, then said he, unto what is the kingdom of God like, and whereunto shall I resemble it? It is like a grain of mustard seed which a man took and cast into his garden. And it grew and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches thereof. I want to teach this morning from this thought. Sow your way there. Sow your way there. Find out where you want to go in life and sow your way there. Amen. The Bible says he gave seed to who? The sower. If you don't want to sow the seed, you don't need it. Amen. If you don't want to use preaching, don't listen. Because the word of the Lord is meant to be not only heard, but to be followed. And to be not just a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. And Jesus put forth this parable a parabolic truth that these two writers wrote in their Gospels. And they say, one of them says, what is it likened unto? What shall I compare it to? The other one says, what does it resemble? And so we kind of get an insight, if you will, of a comparison of a teeny-tiny seed and what can happen when it's planted. If you looked at the seed, you would say, and you looked at the tree, you'd say, no way, no way. And too many times in life, we make unfair comparisons. Unfair. It's not fair. The Bible says to compare ourselves among ourselves is not wise. That's not a fair comparison. Where you are, where I am, where he is, where she is, that's not fair. He said, you're headed for trouble. That's not wise. But when I compare, when Christ compared things, he took things out of the world and compared them to the kingdom of God. But to compare yourselves among yourselves, no, don't do that. But when I look at their end and I look at my end, that's worth comparing. When I look at their joy, their unhappiness, and I look at my joy, that's worth comparing. Because I realize that the kingdom of God is worth sowing the seed. We read in Romans 14 and 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat or drink. It's not substances. Godliness is not a matter of an abundance that a man has. That does not constitute how godly a person is by how much they have. It's not meat or drink, but it's righteousness and peace and joy. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. This seed that was planted become great righteousness, it become great peace, and it become great joy. Are you understanding that? Just from a little seed of joy, a little seed of righteousness, just doing the right thing. Well, it ain't much, but I'm going to do the right thing anyway. May nothing become of it, but God sees everything. I'm going to do the right thing. And that right thing becomes a great big thing. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men both ways. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith may edify another. Let us sow seeds that will yield peace and that will build you up rather than building me up. Things I want to do things that build this church up and not me up. That's why my name's not on the sign. It's not on the sign. You don't see my name on the sign. It won't be on the sign over there. I'm not interested in building me up. We're not building this church for me. We're building it to edify the kingdom of God long after I'm gone. And so what we're doing is sowing a little seed. This church is probably the least of all the churches, the smallest of all of them at one time. But you just keep watching. Just do the right thing. Just do the right thing. And I'm not competing with all these others. I'm just saying the growth of this church is not because of me. It's because of the word of God. If you plant the seed, it will happen. But if I just hold it and I don't plant it, it's not going to happen. And so this church, and I believe someday, and I told Brother Clary, and he'll be back next Sunday. I told him, I said, Brother, I'll be shocked if this church don't become one of the largest churches in the area. I really will be. And I'm going to do my part. It may not be, Moses didn't lead them to the promised land. Joshua did, but guess who taught Joshua? Moses. Amen. So if you want to understand the kingdom of God, read the parable of the sower. The most important parable is the parable of the sower. And Christ said it that way, that it was the greatest of all the parables. Now, there are three principles. I didn't get my board out this morning because I didn't want y'all to get bored. But there are three principles about sowing seed that we can compare to the kingdom of God. Number one, you ready? You know them all. You reap what you sow. That's so profound, but so simple, but yet so profound. And it's all found in a few verses in Galatians, the three things I want to talk about, Galatians 6 and 7. He says, be not deceived. Do you know the devil is a deceiver? The devil said, that ain't going to amount to nothing. Nobody's going to see you if you don't do right. It's okay. Be not deceived. God will not be made fun of. He'll not be mocked. He'll not be looked at. He's not going to look bad. You're not going to make him look bad. For whatsoever a man soweth, somebody say that. The same thing. Whatever you sow, that shall you also reap. So don't be fooled this morning. Don't be tricked by somebody else. Don't let somebody else lead you into believing that it won't come back. Because whatever you sow will come back to you. That's why I'm preaching this morning. Sow your way there. Wherever there is for you, what that constitutes, you say, I just want happiness. So what? Happiness. I just want joy. So joy. And you will sow your way there. You will never sow lust and get joy or peace. It's never going to happen. But you will reap what you sow. You will. It will come back to you. And I've heard people say, well, I just want to be loved. Start loving. Start being a lovable person. I just need somebody to treat me kind. Are you treating other people kind? Because whatever you sow, that. Well, I did that and it didn't come back. Well, you didn't give it time. And that's going to be one of the other things. It takes time. Whatever you sow, that will come back for you, to you. Amen. When it says whatsoever, that's a pretty broad thing, isn't it? I mean, that's... But it's whatever you put in the ground... Brother over here raises tomatoes and cucumbers and all this stuff, and I think you'd be shocked out of your mind if you planted a tomato seed and it came out a cucumber. You would say, I must have planted the wrong seed. You wouldn't say, there's no way. Because we understand that principle. Can we not understand it in the kingdom of God? There's no way you're going to sow to the flesh and reap of the spirit. It's not going to happen. So it matters what you sow into. If you sow into an education, you should reap the benefit of that education. If you sow 30 years into PPG or CIDCO, you should reap the benefit of sowing 30 years into that. Galatians 6 and 8, the next verse says, see, it will show you there's two places to sow. For he that soweth to his flesh... sows to his flesh shall of that same flesh reap corruption. Mm-hmm. If you find happiness a corrupt way, you're going to reap the corruption of that. If you find joy in a corrupt way, you're going to reap corruption from that. It won't last. Everything corrodes. Did you know that in this world? Everything corrodes. I don't care. I've had so many cameras, so many flashlights. I'm like, good grief, why isn't this thing working? You open it up, and guess what? The batteries have corroded. Well, I just put them in. I haven't even turned it on. It doesn't matter. I didn't get my money's worth. It doesn't matter. Because it corroded. And no matter what it is in this life, everything you see, amen. We're putting a brown roof on that building out there, and boy, I fought with brown because I know it fades. Oh, but we put Kevlar in there. We put this in there. It's about, but it still fades. So for me, now we're going to go with brown because that's which, you know, looks the best. But for me, I'd put 10. I'd put what it's going to fade to. That's what I do. I put what it's going to fade to. That way it looks new all the time or old all the time, just depending on how you look at it. So if you sow of the flesh, said you're going to reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, capital Spirit. So you either sow to yourself or you sow to the kingdom. Do you understand that? You sow to yourself. Well, I'm going to get me of this and I'm going to get me of that and I'm going to wear of this and I'm going to have of that. Go ahead. It's going to corrode. But if you say, I'm going to give this to him, I'm going to send this up. Where a man's treasure is, there's his heart. His heart's right by his treasure. It's right there. And you know where a person's treasure is when you listen to him talk. Because out of the abundance of a man's heart, he'll tell you where his treasure is. He'll tell you. Just listen to him talk. And so, he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. It never corrodes. It never goes bad. That joy will last. That peace will last. It'll never go away. Everything that's seen is temporal. But the things that cannot be seen are spiritual and are of God. Amen. Seeds are sown either to your flesh or they are sown to your spirit. They're either sown to your desires or they are sown into His desires. I think good friends, good people, when you do good to them, they feel indebted to you, do good back to you, right? I know if you do something good deep for me, my wife tells me all the time, somebody does something good for me, I never finish paying them back. I'm like, oh, thank you, I'll never forget that time. Here, take this. You know, she says, you don't have to pay people back all your life. But I just feel that way. I just feel like, man, I can't believe they went out of their way to do that for me. I do accept gift cards to Academy and Home Depot. No, I'm picking. Just picking. If you sow seeds into the pleasures of this life, they won't last. And it ends in corruption, sorrow, and weeping and tears. So, whatsoever you sow, number one, that's what you're going to reap. Number two, you will always reap more than you sow. You will always reap more. No one would plant one kernel of corn and say, boy, I hope I get it back. You would not plant one kernel of corn and expect to get one back. If that was the case, go ahead and eat it, eat the seed, and call it a meal. If you don't expect to get anything back out of life, then just eat your seed as you go. Same thing is true about supporting the church. God likes first fruits, not last fruits, first fruits. And what happens is you're eating your seed. So knowing this principle, I want to be very careful what I sow and where I sow it. I have an expectation of a harvest right here in this church. When you plant seeds, you say, well, hope I get two for one. Oh, no. I've heard him say, man, boy, there I'm loaded with these cucumbers. They're hanging on, boy, and he just loves to tell me that because I don't do so well with them. My chestnut trees are growing like this and mine's like this, you know. Hosea said they sowed the wind and reaped the whirlwind, a tornado. They sowed the wind, but they reaped more than they sowed. It works both ways, righteousness or unrighteousness. You always reap more. It's a principle of the law of seed and harvest. Little white lies. They grow up to be very deceitful people. There's no white lie. There's no white lie. They're all dark. Seeds of doubt ultimately yields total disbelief. It'll grow up. What I'm trying to tell you is whatever you plant will grow up. And if you let Johnny by with it, he'll grow up thinking that's okay. Number three, it takes time. It's all in that parable and all in this in Galatians here. It takes time. So the writer writes the next verse in Galatians 6 and 9. He says, let us not be weary. Knowing that it takes time, he said, it's got to grow, so don't you grow weary. While it's growing up, don't you go down. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, or at the right time, we shall reap, if we faint not, which means give up. Give up. While your seeds are growing, you cannot afford to get weary and get tired and quit. Anything worth anything takes time. People that want a quick return, I don't care if it's in an investment, people are sitting. I've only been one time, and I'm not embarrassed to tell you because it was kind of an accident. A guy called me one time to go to lunch with him in Opelousas, a client, and I went there. Well, the place he wanted to go was closed. Next thing I knew, we drove up at a casino. I didn't know where we were going. We drove up to the casino, and we had to walk through that thing to get to this great buffet. This great buffet. There ain't no buffet like going through the one at the casino. Oh, come on. As soon as you swallow it, it's all the same. It's all the same. And I'll never forget the spookiness going through there. I wasn't going to tell him no. I was going to, I was just going to go ahead, and I wasn't going to make him look bad, if you understand what I'm saying. So I walked through there, and I saw ladies sitting there, mostly ladies. I mean, it was packed with ladies. It was like lunchtime the other day. And a few men, perhaps, and we went to that great buffet. I can't even remember what I got. I was so glad to get out of there. But they're putting in something, these little seeds, hoping to get a huge return. That's what they're doing. They don't put in a quarter hoping to get back a quarter. They're hoping to get back many quarters or dollars or whatever it is. And I've never been back, y'all. I've never been back. It takes time. You cannot just plant a seed today and tomorrow pick it. Pick the fruit. It's not going to happen. If you're in a hurry to get something, plant peanuts. They grow fast, get you some sandy ground. And I want to tell you, I like peanuts. I like peanuts. I'm going somewhere with this little thought. Stay with me. I like, anytime your cucumber vines won't last another year. Every year, you got to plant them. They won't last. But I like cucumbers. There's nothing wrong with cucumbers. But the problem is, with so many things that yield quickly, they die quickly. And every year, do it again. Do it again. But I wonder what would happen if in your garden, while you're planting peanuts, you planted a pecan seed. Or a pecan tree, and went about keep planting your peanuts. But the day will come when you go, I don't need these peanuts anymore. Look at this tree. But if you don't have a vision, you perish, and you just keep planting peanuts, and every year you plant peanuts. But why, of the 10 years you've been planting peanuts, you could have planted a pecan tree in the middle of your garden. And while you're doing your pecans and all that, you got to water everything else anyway. And then this tree begins to grow. Now, once a pecan tree starts yielding, it'll yield for you the rest of your life and your children and your children's children. That's what I'm talking about. Because when you die and you're planting peanuts, the peanuts stop. But the kingdom of God is like a tree that is a small seed that groweth up. And the birds of the air lodge there for many years. Your children can lodge there. Your children's children can lodge there. Amen. Everybody can benefit from it. What I like is the way that, I think it was, let me turn back here and see who it was. It was Luke that said it. He said, it is like a grain of mustard seed which a man took and cast into his garden. He planted this, just like I said, in his garden. While he had these other things going, he was looking to the future. How about you? Where are you in life? You just going to plant peanuts the rest of your life? And when you die, bless God, well, that's it. Thank the Lord. I want Ariel to say, Pawpaw, I want Melanie to tell Ariel, your Pawpaw planted them chestnut trees. He may never ate a one of them, but your children's children will pick up these chestnuts. Because while I was doing something else, I was working on that too. And I was enjoying life over here. No, I may never enjoy that. But if you don't have a vision for the future, you'll keep eating peanuts all your life. Everything starts out immature. I don't care. Nothing comes out grown. It takes time. We want things mature right away. It doesn't work that way. Everything starts out immature. That's why the Bible says, judge nothing before its time. You can look at someone is doing a sculpture, and you look at a square block of rock, and he chisels a little bit on it, and you say, that looks terrible. Shut up. I'll let you know when I'm finished. Do you like people to judge you before it's time? No. Then why do you do other people that way? Because what you judge shall be met back to you. Because if you plant judgment, you're going to get judgment back. If you plant criticism, you're going to get criticism back. If you plant dislike of people, people don't like you either. Now, nobody likes me. Wonder why? The Bible says if you sow into friendship, you'll reap friends. Anybody get anything out of this? A mighty tree comes from a little bitty seed. Be not weary in well-doing. Mark said it this way in 4:30, and he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God, and with what comparison shall I compare it to? It is like a grain of mustard seed, and sown on the ground is less than all the herbs of the earth. It's amazing how tiny it is. It's the least of all the seeds in the earth. I got to thinking about that. Brother, you and my gardener here this morning. I got to thinking about that. I go to Lowe's and I buy some topsoil to put my plants in there. You look at all I see is dirt. But inside that dirt's all these little bitty seeds that I didn't even know was there. They're so tiny, I didn't even see them in the dirt. That's how tiny they are. And he said, the mustard seed is smaller than that. But when it is planted and you give it time, it will become a huge resource to you. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all the herbs, shooteth forth great branches, and the fowls of the air are able to lodge there. I will tell you this morning, don't worry about immature things. In my many years of planting trees, some have been successful, some have been failures. I read a statistic one time that said when you plant a sapling, put a stake there and tie it, it will grow 50% faster. A dead stake by a live tree, when tied to it, will grow. Why? Because the wind blows that little tree, whips around, it pulls them little fine little nutrient, the little roots that it has, and it breaks them as the wind blows. But if you'll stake it, it says it'll spread out, the roots will grow bigger, and the tree will go up faster. And I have found that to be true. Don't worry about immature things. Just take care of it. It will grow up. It will grow up. How many of you ever did immature things in your life? Come on. You look back and say, boy, that was stupid of me. What was I thinking? You know what it is? Immaturity. Immaturity. And in living for God, I could be a hard-nosed pastor and get on to people when they meant failure and so forth and drive them right out of the ground. When I myself had to have patience from other people. I myself wasn't fully grown when I got in, even into the ministry. I'm still growing, by the way. I'm still growing. The problem that we have is we do not give people time. We don't give time for things to mature before we begin to judge them and to begin to criticize them. Then there's one more principle before I close this morning. It's not only what you sow, it's how much you sow. It's how much you sow. 2 Corinthians 9:6. But this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. My. Sow your way there. You've got to look ahead and see where you want to be. And the best way to get there is to sow a lot of good seeds early in life. I will tell you, and I'm just telling you, it's not in a bragging way, but the business I'm in, I've been very, very successful with it. And where did that success come from? It come from the Lord. We all understand that. But I will tell you that I have pulled from people I went to high school with that I haven't seen since high school that have called me and come to me as clients. And you know what they said? I didn't see you running around and drinking and doing all this stuff. I trusted you then in high school. I'll trust you now. 50 years later, maybe? 40 years later? A little seed. And now they're retiring and they come to me. Same thing in dentistry. I had a guy call me one time. He said, I'm so-and-so. I said, okay. He said, well, I'm retiring from Conoco. I'm going to come see you. And so he came and he sat there and I talked to him a long time. And he's like glazing over. I'm like, he ain't coming here. And so he's... So anyway, I was talking to him. I said, now you can go, you know, I advise you go other places and, you know, visit and see and come do your comparison and all, you know, whatever you want to do. And he said, look, he looked at me, he said, you was my dentist and I trusted you then. You fixed my teeth and all my family's teeth and you was always fair. I'm here. Sign me up. So what I'm trying to tell you is I didn't know it was going to lead to that. I didn't know that. But those little seeds you sow way back there, so here's my point. Sow a bunch of those little seeds. A lifetime of those little seeds. Because you see, the harvest takes a long time to come. And some people are still paying for today mistakes they made 20, 30 years ago. They're still paying for them. But if you're going to reap what you sowed. I can't stop that. But if you would sow some good seeds along the way, even though there was some bad there too, if you'll sow more good than you did bad, then you'll reap more good. Eventually, the good will choke out the bad. Or you understand what I'm trying to say? It will eventually choke out the bad. But if you sow more bad than you do good, it can choke out the good. Every man, according as he hath purposed in his heart, sow sparingly, reap sparingly, sow bountifully. What's in your heart? So let him give, not grudgingly, or of necessity. That's why I don't take pledges. That's why I don't make y'all work. If you want to give, this is your church, it's the kingdom of God, give. And the Lord will bless you for it. And obviously many, if not all of you, have seen the results of that. For God loveth. You want God's love? It says he loveth a cheerful giver. Wow. I want God's love. Well, I'm going to give this, well, God will love me. No, don't worry about it. Just keep it. Eat your seed. But when you give, and it's not always money. It's just giving. Giving to the kingdom of God. Sowing into his spirit. God loves that. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. When you give to him, he gives back to you. When you sow into his spirit, he sows back into your life. Oh, y'all got to understand this morning. Let me tell you, I don't care how old you are, it's never too late to sow. So, I've already wasted. No, you hadn't. You're still alive. It's never too late to sow good seeds. All grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound. No, to every good work. That whatever you put your hands to, it will prosper. Last verse, Luke 6:38. Give. This is Christ talking. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. You know what good measure is? You give somebody something. Say, here, take one more for good measure. Good measure. That's just over and above the measure. It's just to make sure that you got enough. Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. You're going, well, I guess I'll give you. And the Lord's up there, well, I guess I'll just give you back that. You say, Lord, I'm going to give you my life. He said, I guess I'll give you my life. You didn't understand that. Lord, I'm going to give you my life. He said, okay, I'll give you my life. I bought some dog food, this pressed down and shake down, heaped up and running over kind of thing. I bought some dog food, my dog, in it, put it in a canister. It's a big canister. My dogs, they always like it when I get fresh food. Now, I change my food up. Now, some people give their dog the same thing. Do you like to eat the same thing every day? I don't either. So I get something different. And they're looking through the fence. I think he's got lamb chops and rice this time. Looks like beef this time. They're looking like that. So anyway, I opened the bag and the canister was empty. And so I said, I don't know if it's going to hold it all. So I poured it in there. You know, you always get this extra 5 pounds they say you don't pay for. But so I poured it in there and it started filling. It got to the top. Pour some more and he comes out. And that's how God is. He's going to make sure you got all you can hold. He's going to make sure you got all you can hold. And I shake it. And finally, I thought, well, I couldn't quite screw the lid down, you know. So I shook it finally. I could, but there was still some in the bag. And I looked at those dogs like this. I said, okay, you win. And I just gave them the rest of it. Amen. That's what God wants to do for every one of us. But he only gives back what you give to him. So give from your heart, not only to the church, but to others. And he'll give back to you. Thank God. God bless you this morning. Let's take a quick break and come back for morning worship.